Good afternoon. Backsliding is a serious problem among God's people. And it's not a new problem with God's people. It's been around for a very long time. The word backsliding is the Hebrew word meshubah, and it means apostasy. It means to turn away. It means to backslide. You and I are familiar with the fact that there are so many of our young people who are backsliding. You think about how many children have been reared in the church. You rear your children in the church, and soon as they get old enough to make their own decisions, that world claims them and they walk away. And we are also witnessing that people are leaving the church, and some are leaving the church for denominationalism. And I believe that due to the watered-down preaching that's now in so many of our pulpits, the failure to help teach the church regarding the doctrines of Christ, that is one of the causes as well. Yeah, we have so many people sitting in the pews that don't know what to believe, don't know what we believe, don't know really what the Bible teaches. And one day I'd like to come in with a pop quiz, though, and just start questioning everybody as to the doctrine of Christ, but I think I have a better way of doing that. But we need to know what we believe. We need to know why we believe it. We need to know what the Bible teaches, and if we don't, we need to get prepared doing it. Because of these kinds of things, I believe we're losing people. We're losing people because you don't know the difference. And then we have those brethren who are out there trying to make the church into a denomination, who are trying to look so much like a denomination, but by the time you soften the teaching and you want to look like a denomination and do everything they do, then don't expect people to know the difference. It just seems like they get to choose from one denomination to the next. And we're losing people as a result of these things. People are becoming apostate. This, again, is not a new problem. Note a few passages with me as it pertains to Israel. Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. Verse number 6. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel had done? She has gone up on every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. Look down to verse number 8. And I saw, when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. So Judah was able to witness backsliding of Israel, the northern 10 tribes, and also was aware of the punishment that came as a result of that backsliding. And yet they did not learn from that lesson, but actually went and did the same thing, committed the same sins, began to commit harlotry, if you will, through idolatry against God, and the same fate came upon them. Look at Jeremiah chapter 8 and notice verse number 5. The Bible says, why then is the people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit and they refuse to return. These are people who backslide and revolt against God and continue in their revolt and their rebellion. It can get to the point where they can no longer seek for repentance. They can't return. They cannot recover. Such was the case in the Jews, with the Jews in Jesus' day, when you consider Matthew 23:37, where Jesus says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often I would have gathered thy children together as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Jesus says, and therefore your house is left unto you desolate. It was not that God and Christ were not ready to help and to heal the Israelites even in that day, or the Jews. It was not that they were unable. Jesus said, I would have gathered you as a hen gathered her chicks under her wings, But the point was, they would not. They refused. They would not come back to God. They were like those who were perpetually backsliding. They were just going further and further, adding iniquity to iniquity. It got so bad that Jesus finally said, judgment is coming. There's no point in continuing to go any further with you. And so therefore, your house is left unto you desolate. In other words, here was the temple, and God says he would no longer claim the temple for his own house. He had removed his presence from the temple and said, your house is left unto you desolate. Not only that, that temple's coming down, but also Jerusalem is going to be ransacked, and it's going to be set on fire. So God says, okay, you're just going to continue in your rebellion, and therefore, there's no point in trying to get you to return, and judgment is pending. Judgment is coming. Judgment is inevitable. Sometimes you can go so far that you just can't return. Well, you and I have to be careful about this situation of backsliding, because I believe what happens is we recognize how backsliding works, because typically we see people who just quit, or we see people who don't come. We see people who totally fall away and fall out. And so we recognize that those people have backslidden. What we don't recognize is how easy it is for us to sit right in the pews and backslide. So let me tell you some ways in which you can backslide. You can backslide in your allegiance. You can backslide in your allegiance. Whenever God is replaced by our worship of something else, or our allegiance to something else, or putting something in competition with God, or trusting in something other than God, then, my friends, we are backsliding. In other words, you backslide when you put your family ahead of God. We can't even afford to love our families before God. And that's what Jesus says. The family can't come before him. He must be first. And if you put anything in front of Christ, then, my friends, you're backsliding. Jesus in Luke chapter 14 and verse number 25, the Bible says, and there went out multitudes after him. And he turned and said unto them, if any man come unto me and hate not his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brothers, his sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciples. You might notice also Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 37, where Jesus said, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth mother or he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth even his own life is not worthy of me. And my friends, when you think about this, when you seek to put anything before Christ. In fact, the reason Jesus is even saying this is because whoever you love the most, that is the one you'll seek to please the most. If I love mother or father more than Christ, I'll seek to please mother and father more than Christ. And the problem with that is sometimes people will put you at odds with Christ, even mother and father. In other words, I can't do their will for trying to do the will of Christ. If I'm going to do the will of Christ, then sometimes when my mother or my father is contrary to Christ, I have to do what Christ says. But if you love whom you love most, that's the one you're going to try to please. And so you cannot put those before Jesus Christ. In fact, when you think about backsliding, another way in which we backslide in our allegiance is when we don't seek the kingdom first. We hear these passages all the time, but sometimes we don't get the right understanding of them. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, but seek ye first in preference, first in priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Anytime anyone puts anything before the kingdom first, in their pursuit of other things, in their pursuit of material blessings and gains and all those kind of things, you see people do it all the time. Sometimes you see people missing worship, hand over, just time and time and time again. And all of this because they are seeking after this. Sometimes people will put Christ on the back burner while they seek all of those things. And it's very easy to see when people are running and chasing after the dollar rather than chasing after the spiritual benefits that comes through Jesus Christ. And so we can see it played out. And so Jesus says that very thing. You cannot seek these things first. You must seek the kingdom first. In other words, always be concerned about your spiritual interests first. Make every decision based on your spiritual life and not based on your carnal life. It doesn't make any sense for a child of God to leave their residence, take up a job in another town, and there's not a church from 200 miles in a 200-mile radius for where you're going. But they're going to pay you more money. Well, what do you think is going to happen to you when you get over there? You don't have anyone to encourage you. You don't have anyone that's going to help you and build you up. You're not going to be able to make it to services, but every once in a while, if you're willing to drive 200 miles to get to a church, and I know people who've done this, so I'm not just throwing things out at you. But when you do those kind of things, what kind of decision is that? And sometimes we move into places where the church is very weak, where we don't have a good presence there, not a good solid congregation there. And you go into those places, why? Because somebody offered you more money. Make your decisions based on spiritual things or you will find yourself backsliding. Sometimes when people tell me, Brother Disney, I got to work. Brother Disney, I got to work. Brother Disney, I got to work. Don't let them work you out of salvation. Don't let them work you to death, spiritual death. In other words, my friends, if you never come, what do you expect? One of the ways in which you're going to avoid backsliding, I'll tell you later, has to do with the saints. And if you never are here, you never participate, then, my friends, you're going to end up backsliding. Kingdom must be first. Spiritual matters must be first. We must not trust in wealth. And that's why Jesus in Matthew 6 and verse number 21 says, lay not up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. When neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, verses 19 through 21. And verse number 24, he says, you cannot serve God and mammon. Can't do it. And so we have to be careful in reference to those kind of things. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 17, Matthew 16, verse number 26, what does it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Paul says you brought nothing in this world and it's certain you can carry nothing out. And so why would we put those things before our spiritual well-being? Also, Luke 14 and verse number 26. John reveals to us that we must not love this world, nor the things that are in the world. Any man loves the world, my friends, that means he's backsliding. John says, all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but it's of the world. Don't love the things of the world, the things that satisfy and gratify your appetite. Sometimes all people want to do is pursue those things that they claim makes them happy. And I tell you what, that's not always the right thing to do. That's not always a good thing to do. Sometimes people are thrill seekers. All they want to do is the things that have fun, the things that makes them feel good, the things that they claim make them happy. And all those things do sometimes is make you backslide, get you in trouble. And so he says, don't do those kinds of things. Don't love the things of this world. And those are the things that people think will make them happy, the things that satisfies and gratifies whatever yearnings and things that I have. And so we find those thrill seekers often get themselves in trouble and they go away from God. Things that they believe will please them, things that ends up promoting a lot of times their own selfish pride. We have to be careful of those kind of things. There are a myriad of ways in which you can backslide when you give up on your allegiance to Christ. One of the ways you can backslide is you can backslide in heart. You can backslide in heart. How do you do that? When your love grows cold. When your love grows cold. Jesus said in Matthew 22 and verse number 37, that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, or with all your might. You gotta love him with everything you got, with all the fibers of your being. You have to love God. And sometimes people allow their love for God to grow cold, my friends. And when that's happening, you're backsliding in your heart. You're backsliding in your allegiance to Christ. Sometimes people backslide in duty. You backslide in duty. You know why sometimes you can't get folks, Brother Craig, to do certain things? And you know why you can't depend on everybody that shows up at this building? The reason you can't, because too many people are backsliding. You see, they're not going to do anything. They're not going to really get involved, and they're going to always be talking about they and y'all because they don't see the we in it. They're not going to get involved. In other words, people backslide in duty. But the problem with that is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 46. Jesus said, blessed is that servant when his Lord cometh shall find so doing. Now, those are the ones he's going to set over his business, the ones he's going to come and find so doing. My friends, if you are a member of the church, you ought to be trying to find a way to be busy for the Lord, to be doing something for the Lord. Find what you can do and what you can offer and jump in there and do it with all your might. The Bible says, whatsoever your hand finds to do, Do it with all your might. You need to get busy. But the reason people are not, because they're backsliding in duties and responsibilities. What can you do? You know how many times I've heard people say things like, well, you know what? I'm not doing this because it's not, that's not, we don't have that, or we don't have this, or we don't have that. And so now they're looking for it somewhere else. Why don't you do it? What's wrong with you? Well, we ain't got no classes for the sisters. Well, then why don't you teach one? Well, the older sister's supposed to be teaching the old younger sisters. Well, then why don't you start? Well, we don't have no classes for the children, and so that's why I'm doing this. Well, why don't you teach it? Amen. In other words, whatever's not going on in Newport News, you do it. That sounds too much like right, doesn't it? And if you can't, put yourself in position to do it. But start it, as long as it's scriptural. We don't mind, as long as it's scriptural. I don't think Brother Craig them going to get mad if y'all say we need some more classes going on down at Hall, and we need some people to teach them. Well, then let's get busy teaching them. In other words, my friends, don't neglect the duties. It could be that the thing can get done through you. Amen. But it's so easy to look and see someone else and say, well, if we're not doing it and they're not doing it and all this kind of stuff, so it's not going to get done. Mm-mm. We backslide in our duty when our service is neglected. But also we backslide in motive when our object is lost. Who is your object? Your object is Christ. Christ becomes your motive. He is the one that motivates us to do what we do. Christ is the very reason why you are here. Christ is the very reason why you have committed a service to him. It is your motive. But when our motive is lost, or when our object is lost, that is Christ that becomes our motive, we end up quitting on Christ. How do we do that? Because something else become our object. You know who typically becomes your object? Other people. Other people become your object. You see, if Christ is my object and that becomes my motive, then what I do for him. And I'm motivated to do it because of him. But the moment I put my eyes on Wendell and Wendell don't act right, I'll quit on my object because of Wendell. So Wendell, you offend me and then I stop coming. And I take it out on Christ. That's like being mad at the dog and kicking the cat. You see, you upset me, you offend me, and you see people do this all the time. We go and we talk to people like, well, why aren't you coming anymore? Well, you know what? So-and-so offended me. Well, why did you quit doing? Well, you know what? Wasn't nobody else doing anything. Come on, y'all have heard this stuff before, haven't you? Why'd you quit teaching? Well, because we can't get nobody else to teach. Wait a minute. I thought your object was Christ. Amen. I was under the impression that you were doing that for Jesus. Listen, whatever service you commit to God, whatever service you commit it to Christ, and don't let anybody knock you off of it. Amen. I preach the gospel because of Jesus Christ. I don't preach the gospel because of y'all. I'm sorry if you didn't know that. Which means you can't knock me off of it. You can't suddenly come in here and start mistreating me and talking about me and doing all kinds of things and try to discourage me and think that's going to stop me from preaching this gospel. You can't run behind corners and talk about me. Yeah, Brother Dismuke, I tell you what. I just don't like his preaching. I don't like the way he talks. Sometimes you just get so negative, so hard. That's not going to bother me. Amen. I'm going to keep on preaching. Listen, they've done worse in other places. They've done worse in other places. Point is, you know who my object is? My object is Christ. Who's yours? So whatever you do in the service of the Lord, maintain your object, becomes your motivation. And then nothing Wendell does to me will stop me from doing what I do for Christ. But if you quit on what you're doing for Christ because someone else offended you, what I know is you have backslidden in your motive. You've backslidden on your object. And if you're doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ, then don't let anyone take away your service. Look at what Paul says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 23. I'll wait till you get there so you can read it in the Bible. You know I didn't make it up. Colossians 2:23, what is it? How does it read?
Which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship.
Okay, I got you in the wrong passage. Let's go to Colossians 3:23. I wrote two in my notes too, but I know there's three. And if it's not there, start at Colossians 1:1. Read the whole book until we come across it, because I know it's in Colossians somewhere.
But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons.
Back up a verse.
Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And or verse 23, whatsoever ye
That's do, what I want.
Do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ.
So whatsoever ye do, he says, do it heartily. Do it ek suke, out of the soul. In other words, he said, put all your heart, put all your soul into it. Let me ask you the question, lest we be backsliding. What you do for the Lord, are you putting all of you into it? Are you putting all your heart and soul into it? You all already know there's a lot of things that I do, and there's a lot of things I used to do. We talk about basketball, one of those things that I really enjoy doing. But you know what I used to do? I used to put a lot of time and effort into it. In the summertime, I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'd be over there dribbling up and down that court, backwards and forward. And then I'd come home for a little bit, and then we go right back there that afternoon. And then we playing some ball in the afternoon. Then we go on to take somebody's park later on that evening. And we in the gym all the time. If there was a gym open and it had a basketball floor on it, I could smell the pine wood, and we going to play basketball. And we would play in tournaments. We would do everything. We would play, and we would give all our effort to it. And you know what? We loved it. We enjoyed it. We put everything. Can I come into the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ and be less passionate? What's your thing? What's your thing that gets you excited? What's that thing that you just really enjoy? What's that thing that you're really passionate about? What's that thing that means something to you? I mean, even to talk about it, sometimes when you find that thing that somebody really loves and enjoys and you strike up a conversation, boy, you'll get them to talking when they're talking about their passion, something they really love. I'm saying whatever that is for you, compare it to what you are in spiritual matters with Christ. And think about it that way. And you put everything into what you're doing for Christ. Exuke. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto whom?
As to the Lord.
As to the Lord and not unto men. My friends, people backslide in their motive, but also people backslide in courage when their faith declines. Jesus will say to the disciples, O ye of little faith. Revelation 21:8, the fearful is going to find themselves in the lake of fire, which burneth fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You don't want to be that kind of person. You want to be the person of faith. Don't, my friends, allow yourself to lose courage. Don't lose heart. You've got to have courage. You have to have conviction, and you've got to have it for the Lord. Don't allow anyone to take it away from you. But you can backslide if you're not careful. You can backslide in courage when your faith declines. People sometimes backslide in emotions. How do you do that? Look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 14. You can backslide in your emotions. You remember a time when you first obeyed the gospel, and people would say sometimes, that person is on fire for the Lord. Y'all ever heard that? Yeah, you've heard that. And let me tell you what happens, and this should be to our shame, but but not to hurt us, but to help us. Sometimes you see that new convert that comes and they hear the gospel for the first time. Now, I'm up in here preaching, and I'm preaching my little heart out. And I'm up here, I'm banging on the pulpit, I'm throwing these scriptures out, and I'm explaining them and stuff, and y'all looking, yeah, that brother did me. Yeah, that's what he did. Yeah. Good sir. But that person who come here who's never heard that preaching, and it lit a fire in them, and they're like, wow, that's different, I ain't never heard that kind of thing. Wait, explain them scriptures, I ain't never heard. So they more excited about it than y'all, because y'all used to it. But they hear it, and it sparks something in them. They respond to the gospel, and then they get so excited. They studying all the time. They asking for more scriptures and stuff like this, and they want to know what this means, that means. They all on the internet looking up stuff, you know, and hearing sermons and stuff. They can't get enough CDs. They just doing all this stuff, and then you know what happens after a while? The people that have been sitting up in here for 10, 15 years, that person comes and passes them right by in their knowledge and in their understanding, because they are on fire. And sometimes they get so on fire, they want to go out and tell everybody about it, and then we have to throw a little water on them to cool them down. Mm-hmm. Now, wait a minute, slow down now. You can't convert everybody. You can't just slow down. And listen, I've told you, sometimes new converts are the ones that do the most converting. Because they are on fire. Look what kind of people that God redeemed, Titus 2:14.
Who gave himself for us.
Gave himself for us.
That he might redeem us from all iniquity.
Uh-huh.
And purify unto himself a peculiar people.
A peculiar people.
Zealous of good works.
Zealous, in other words, zealous. Zealous of good works. In other words, we are on fire because of the redemption. He redeemed us from all iniquity. Shouldn't that get us moving?
Amen.
Shouldn't that make us want to be on fire? Shouldn't that make us want to tell other people about the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Shouldn't that make us want to live it out in front of people? Look, I'm going to heaven because the Lord removed all of my iniquities, and I want to share this with you because you ought to want this as well. But why am I the only one that seems excited up here?
Amen.
You see, I'm not getting on you. I'm just saying we done backslid.
Yes.
That's what has happened to us. That's why that flame is low. That's why we don't have that passion and those emotions anymore. Because that flame done went out. So now we can go without talking to people about this for years. We can sit alongside coworkers now for a very long time and never tell anything to them. Why? We lost something. What happened to us? We lost our passion. We done backslid. We don't have that same zealousness, if you will, for good works that we once had. We done flamed out, if you will. Now, it's not good, not the worst thing in the world. But once we understand that, you kind of want to get that back, don't you? You can flame out so much that going to church becomes nothing more than a habit. We got to go to church on Sunday. They can get down to basically just going to church. You don't want to do that, do you? That's backsliding.
Yes, sir.
How long have I been up here, Craig? About 30 minutes? Okay, let's stop there because I don't want to keep going on this. I want to give you some biblical examples, but what I've learned is that the Lord bless us. We'll come back another week. But I want to show you what they did in the Bible. And plus, I don't want some of y'all backsliding in time. And saying, you know how we talk about spiritual things? Now, when I go to a movie, I can sit in that movie for 2 hours and a half. I come in here, brother, we got an appetite for about 30, 40 minutes, but if you have to go on. But I understand. feel like you feel. We get the word of God twice a day, and we're privileged to do so. Everybody don't get that. So we don't have to keep you all day to get you some help, get you some understanding. But what we need to do is we need to get this excitement back. We need to get back to not backsliding. We need to be going forward. We need to be going forward with Christ. We need to be going forward with the love that we have for him. We need to be back on our duties and responsibilities. And brethren, let me tell you something. Listen, come on, y'all. Let's go. Let's get it. Let's get with it. We got some brethren here, man, that we need to get up, Craig. We need to get them up. And we need to get everybody involved. Sisters, if you're not involved, let's get involved. Find out what you can do for the Lord. This is not being critical of you. This is saying that you've got a service to give. Let's give it. Brethren, you got a service to give. Let's give it. I've been encouraging some of y'all personally. But now let me tell all of you, we all can do something for the Lord. And we might as well get busy. Find out what that is. Find your niche and give it all you got. Because you never know. I showed you this morning, the Lord told Moses, take your rod. There's nothing special about that rod. But the Lord could use it. He could use the goats. It was just a goat among other goats, but he can use them. And if the Lord can use goats, and he can use a rod, and he can bring water out of rocks and all this kind of stuff, inanimate objects, then what can he do with us who are made in his image if we'll just render a service to him? So if you're here this evening, my friends, sometimes it's easy to notice those who are backsliding because they're no longer in the building. But we don't pay attention to sometimes we're backsliding right here in our own hearts, in our own ways, in our own emotions, our own passion, our own objects, and our own motive. We're backsliding in some of those ways and don't even pay attention to it. We may not go out of the door, but we may fail to render that service to God that will be pleasing unto him. So let's get back to it, and let's get back to our passion. Let's get back to what the Lord wants from us so we can render him a great service. He'll be pleased, and he will give an increase through us. If you're here this afternoon and you want to be a member of the Lord's church, we ask you that you would recognize who Jesus is, the Lord and Savior who died for your sins. We ask you that you would repent of the sins of sin to his cross, believing in him that he is God. He was God in the flesh while he was here. He's back on the right hand of God, and he has ascended into the mediatorship so he can mediate between God and man. And thank God that he is. And so that he can make intercession for us, so he can help us, he can secure us. And one day when this life is over, he'll see us to heaven, to the shore of heaven. But you got to confess him with the mouth and not be afraid of that in front of witnesses. And you have to be immersed in water to identify with him so you can walk in the newness of life. He'll bless your life. He'll bless you. And when this life is over, heaven will be your home. You need to respond to this invitation.